Hare Krishna. At the outset, a very happy new year 2020 to all of you. Hopefully all of us become more Krishna conscious this year than what we were last year. Seeking your blessings also on this day. So we'll begin this new year with a very interesting verse from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Our focus will be on chapter 27 is called as Attack by Chandaveg on the City of Puranjan. Attack by Chandaveg on the City of Puranjan. Our specific focus will be on text number 6. So text number 6 goes as follows. Tasyam ajanayat putran. Tasyam ajanayat putran. Puranjanyam puranjanah.
Puranjanyam puranjanah.
Puranjanyam puranjanah.
Puranjanyam puranjanah.
Satan ekadasha virad.
Satan ekadasha virad.
Satan ekadasha vrirad.
Satan ekadasha vrirad.
Ayushordham athatyagat.
Ayushordham athatyagat.
Ayushordham athatyagat.
Ayushordham athatyagat.
Tasyam ajanayat putran.
Tasyam ajanayat putran.
Puranjanyam puranjanah.
Puranjanyam puranjanah.
Satan ekadasha virad.
Satan ekadasha virad.
Ayushordham athatyagat.
Ayushordham athatyagat.
Tasyam ajanayat putran.
Tasyam ajanayat putran.
Puranjanyam puranjanah.
Puranjanyam puranjanah.
Satan ekadasha virad.
Satan ekadasha
virad. Ayushordham athatyagat.
Ayushordham athatyagat.
Tasyam.
Tasyam.
Within her.
Within her.
Ajanayat.
Ajanayat.
He begot.
He begot.
Putran.
Putran.
Sons.
Sons.
Puranjanyam.
Puranjanyam.
In Puranjani.
In Puranjani.
Puranjanah.
Puranjana.
King Puranjana.
King Puranjana.
Satani.
Satani.
Shatani actually. Shatani. Shatani.
Hundreds.
Ekadasha.
Ekadasha.
11.
Virat.
Virat. O King.
O King.
Ayusha.
Ayusha.
Of life.
Of
Ardham.
Ardham.
Half.
Half.
Atha.
Atha.
In this way.
In this way.
Atyagat.
Atyagat.
He passed.
He passed.
Translation. The great sage Narad then addressed King Prachina Barhisat. The great sage Narad then addressed King Prachina Barhisat. O one whose lifespan is great, O one whose lifespan is great, Virat, in this way King Puranjan begot 1,100 sons within the womb of his wife, Puranjani. King Puranjan begot 1,100 sons within the womb of his wife, Puranjani. However, in this business, he passed away half of his lifespan. However, in this business, he passed away half of his lifespan. In this verse, purport. In this verse, there are several significant words. The first of which are Ekadasha Satani. Puranjan had begotten 1100 sons within the womb of his wife and thus passed away half of his life. Actually, every man follows a similar process. If one lives for 100 years at the utmost, in his family life, he simply begets children up to the age of 50. Unfortunately, at the present moment, people do not live even 100 years. Nonetheless, they beget children up to the age of 60. Another point is that formerly people used to beget 100 to 200 sons and daughters. As will be evident from the next verse, King Puranjan not only begot 1100 sons but also 110 daughters. At the present moment, no one can produce such huge quantities of children. Instead, mankind is very busy checking the increase of population by contraceptive methods. We do not find in Vedic literatures that they even used contraceptive methods, although they were begetting hundreds of children. Checking population by contraceptive method is another sinful activity. But in this age of Kali, people have become so sinful that they do not care for the resultant reactions of their sinful lives. King Puranjan lay down with his wife Puranjani and begot a large number of children, and there is no mention in these verses that he used contraceptive methods. According to the Vedic scriptures, the contraceptive method should be restrained in sex life. According to Vedic methods, Vedic scriptures, the contraceptive method should be restrained in sex life. It is not that one should indulge in unrestricted sex life and avoid children. It is not that one should indulge in unrestricted sex life and avoid children by using some method to check pregnancy. If a man is in good consciousness, he consults with his religious wife. And as a result of this consultation, with intelligence, one advances in his ability to estimate the value of life. In other words, if one is fortunate enough to have a good, conscientious wife, he can decide by mutual consultation that human life is meant for advancing in Krishna consciousness and not for begetting a large number of children. Human life is meant for advancing in Krishna consciousness and not for begetting a large number of children. Children are called parinam or byproducts, and when one consults his good intelligence, he can see that his byproducts should be the expansion of his Krishna consciousness. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasandhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Vasudevaya
Om.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavatir Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha.
Tasyam Ajanayat Putran Puranjanyam Puranjanah Satani Adasha Virad Ayushordham Athatyagat. The great sage Narad then addressed King Prachinabhar. He said, O one whose lifespan is great, Virat. In this way, King Puranjan begot 1100 sons within the womb of his wife, Puranjani. However, in the business, he passed away half of his lifespan. So, Narad Muni is having this conversation with the great king Prachina Barhisat, while his children, the Prachetas, were delivered by Lord Shiva and they got spiritual direction. Narad Muni took the ownership on himself to give spiritual direction to King Prachina Barhisat, knowing how powerful, how influential, and obviously how ignorant he was at that point in time when Narad Muni started to give him this instruction. So Narad Muni uses the principle of allegory. He doesn't directly talk to Prachin Barhisat as if he is correcting him, but he gives a roundabout story talking about a fictitious king whose name was Puranjan. Actually, Puranjan reflects the consciousness of Maharaj Prachin Barhisat. So he is not addressing, Narad Muni is an expert preacher, he is not addressing him directly, but he is giving him this story. Now, as he narrates this story, he talks about Puranjan, who was also very powerful. He became the chief of a certain city. And then Puranjan is besotted with his wife. He meets his partner Puranjani. Both of them are besotted with each other based on their external looks. And in the previous chapters, it was mentioned that Puranjan leaves for the jungle to hunt. Now, when Puranjan leaves for the jungle to hunt, his wife gets very upset. She is missing him terribly that he has gone to the jungle, and she makes it very evident in the previous chapter as well as in this particular section that she is very upset with him. Now Puranjan is so besotted with his wife Puranjani that he can't see her upset because she has completely captured him, and he returns to Puranjani and he now tries to appease her or to mollify her grief and tell her that, look, no, don't worry, I am back right now. So in these sections we will clearly see the theme of how a husband is controlled by a wife. A materialistic husband is controlled by a materialistic wife. Now in his attempts to appease his wife Puranjani, she is eventually appeased fully, and now that she is appeased, now there is time for union between Puranjan and Puranjani. So in this particular verse, in today's verse, it is mentioned eventually they had that union and they produced 1100 children and especially 110 girls on top of that. So, and Prabhupada writes here that these children are byproducts, parinam, they are byproducts. Now, if you study the general theme of this section and what Srila Prabhupada is essentially trying to highlight here, there are a lot of lessons that have come out from this section. First and foremost, Prabhupada is trying to communicate to us what is the significance of grihastha life, what is the significance of a Krishna conscious life. Prabhupada is highlighting the mood of a grihamedi in contrast to the mood of a grihastha. A grihastha also has children. A grihamedi also has children. Sometimes a grihastha also takes a decision not to have children, and a grihamedi also takes a decision not to have children. But the mood of both is different. And finally, we will have conclusions where we will summarize the key learnings from this section. So, we will open our discussion with what is the significance of grihastha life. This is very nicely summarized in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a very famous verse which says, Atah Pumbir Dvija Shrestas Varanashrama Vibhagashah Sva Anushtisthasya Dharmasya Samasiddhir Haritoshanam. At the end of the day, Lord Krishna did say, Chaturvarna Maya Shrestam Guda Karma Vibhagashah in Bhagavad Gita. But the essence of this Varanashrama system is the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It does not matter whether one is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, or which ashram one takes to. Brahmachari ashram, Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram or Sannyas. But the essence of any Varna and any ashram is Samasiddhir Haritoshanam, the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the way that we lead our lives, Lord Krishna has to have a smile on his face. And if he does that, then our life is successful. And he will not have a smile on his face unless the Vaishnavas are pleased with the way we have led our life, unless our spiritual master is pleased in the way that we have led our lives. So, that being the goal, then it's easy to contrast a grihastha with a grihamedi. Sometime back, we were also discussing in one of the earlier sections that an example of we travelling on a freeway from Melbourne to Sydney. On the way from Melbourne to Sydney, there are different exits. Our goal is to reach Sydney. In this example that I am giving, our goal is to reach Sydney. Some people have the ability to drive to Sydney in one shot. They can easily drive for some 8 and a half hours, and in one shot they can reach Sydney. But most people do not have that. Most people need a break in between. And for the purpose of these breaks, there are a lot of exits that are given along the freeway. In each and every exit, if you take, there is a lot of provision. Like there is a motel, there is a restaurant, there is a shopping mall, and so many other things are there, attractions are there. Sometimes there is a park for children. So many attractions are there that each of these exits provide. So one who is focused on going from Melbourne to Sydney, either he directly goes to Sydney in one shot, or if he has to take an exit, he is very careful that he is not too enamored with the motels and the food and the children's park, knowing very well that his goal is to reach Sydney and not to enjoy the exits and the facilities which the exits offer in such a way that he forgets his goal of going to Sydney and decides to reside in the exit itself, enjoying the facilities of the exit. So, this example is when you take in Krishna consciousness, the goal of human form of life is self-realization, is to develop Krishna Prem. Now, to develop Krishna Prem, some people are capable of taking Brahmachari ashram and eventually directly moving from Brahmachari ashram to the renounced order of life, which is called a Sannyasa ashram. But most people cannot do that. So most people take what is called as the Grihastha ashram. Now the beauty of Grihastha ashram is it has got two words, Grihastha and ashram. So Grihastha is not just about marriage. Grihastha ashram is about being in married life with the goal of still taking ashram or shelter of the Lord. That's why it's called as Grihastha ashram. Now, while people enter Grihastha ashram sometimes with a view, with a clear goal, along the way it is not uncommon that someone forgets the goal of human form of life and starts enjoying sense gratification in householder life, forgetting the goal of life. So, Grihastha and Grihamedi is not generally a person. It's not that you can say, on one side all of you who are sitting are Grihasthas, on the other side you all are Grihamedis. No. Grihastha and Grihamedi is a state of consciousness. Whenever we try to enjoy, completely forgetting the goal of human form of life, even as practicing devotees, then to that extent we are acting in Grihamedi consciousness. And to the extent that we are utilizing our householder life in taking shelter of Krishna, where the husband and wife are mutually supportive and always encouraging each other, always reminding each other, even if one person has a tendency to fall down, if the husband has a tendency to fall down, the wife lifts him and says that, hang on, let's not forget the goal of life. And she facilitates him in his journey, and vice versa, the husband is also facilitating the wife's journey. So that is called as ideal Grihastha life. And together then they procreate children, and then the children, the goal of the husband and wife is to somehow or the other make the child Krishna consciousness and to deliver that soul. So this is Grihastha life. So that is why, and then generally it is said Grihastha ashram. We will not find the word Grihamedi ashram. So in one sense, Grihastha itself is synonymous with Grihastha ashram. Okay. Sometimes though, Srila Prabhupada writes in Grihastha life one should not do that. But Grihastha itself is, you know, always together with Grihastha ashram. So there is nothing called as Grihamedi ashram. Grihamedi ashram is an oxymoron. It's the moment you say Grihamedi and the moment you say ashram, they are opposite of each other. Because the fundamental principle of Grihamedi is that there is no ashram. So a Grihamedi in one sense takes shelter only of his mind. Mano rathena sati dhavato bahi. And he is driven by the demands of his mind and senses. That is called as Grihamedi life. Now, so we are continuing our discussion on significance of Grihastha life. Eventually we are now going to commence our discussion on the mood of Grihamedi and the mood of a Grihastha, either in having children or in not having children. When I was reading for this particular section, I was reminded of a very famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, text number, chapter 5, text number 8, 5.5.8, where it is mentioned, this is Lord Rishabhadev saying, Pumsa Striya Mithuni Bhavametam Tayor Mito Hridaya Granthi Mahur, then Ato Griha Kshetra Suta Apta Vittaya Janasya Mohoyam Aham Maam Eti. So that is a very apt verse that talks about the difference between a Grihastha life and a Grihamedi life. In short, many times in various lectures in ISKCON, we hear that this is abbreviated as the Aham Maam Eti principle. Aham Maam Eti means I am the center of existence and everything is meant for my enjoyment. Now this is the mood of a Grihamedi. And because I and mine are in the center of all decisions that a Grihamedi takes, it reflects in the Grihamedi's mood in having either having no children, or it reflects in the Grihamedi having children. So essentially, for a Grihamedi, the mood in having sex is, I want to enjoy with my partner. And this enjoyment should be as unrestricted as it could get. Another verse from Prahlad Maharaj's section, from Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.45, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 45. The verse says, Yen Maithunadi Grihamedi Sukham Hitucham Kandu Yanena Karayor Iva Dukha Dukham. So in that translation it is mentioned, sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamedis, so-called Grihasthas. Prabhupada is writing here, Grihamedis, so-called Grihasthas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness. Grihamedis think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. The Kripanas, the fools who are just the opposite of the Brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dhira, however, those who are dhira means sober, self-realized, sober. Those who are dhira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching. Dhira are those who tolerate this itching, are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. Those who are dhir, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching, are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. So, the difference between grihastha and grihamedi is given here. A grihastha also has, because maya is acting on the grihastha also, the principles of nature will not change just because we become a devotee. Material nature will continue acting on us. But the way we respond depends on our spiritual maturity. So, in that sense, grihastha and grihamedi both get the itch, but the grihastha tolerates it. Whereas a grihamedi succumbs to the demands of his mind and senses and enjoys. And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord says that if you continue enjoying your material senses, it's like pouring fuel on the fire. Whereas if you control it, then it's like pouring water on the fire. Fire can only be extinguished if we pour water and not if we pour more and more fuel. So indulgence begets indulgence. Indulgence in itself cannot lead to a sense of satisfaction or saturation whereby one starts now not indulging. That's not, that it doesn't happen like that. There was one famous personality in the United States who propagated this philosophy, and both he and his so-called followers went down in their whatever so-called spiritual pursuits, if at all you could call it one. So that is bogus philosophy. So talking about grihastha and grihamedi, for a grihamedi comes from the viewpoint that a grihamedi has a sense of enjoyment and has a sense of entitlement. For a grihamedi, it's all about a sense of enjoyment and a sense of entitlement. I am married, so therefore I am entitled to enjoy. And has no sense of responsibility or ownership for his or her activity. So, because there is no sense of ownership and the goal is only to enjoy the senses, therefore they believe a child will impede their enjoyment in life. So that is the way a grihamedi perceives a child. So now, what is the mood of a grihamedi in not having children? I'm talking about a grihamedi now. The mood of a grihamedi in not having children. So there are a lot of excuses that people can give for not having children and still being very happy with their own mind and consciousness. So some of the very famous popular reasons that are given by a grihamedi for not having children are: I love my partner too much, therefore I do not want to have any time sharing with my child. And this I am not saying, this is somewhere I researched and found out what are the different excuses that people give for having sex and then not wanting children out of that. Because Prabhupada is talking about contraception here, and Prabhupada is repeating that word almost 4 or 5 times in this purport. So, I love my partner too much, therefore there is no time sharing, therefore no children. Someone else says, I am not willing to risk this body through pregnancy, therefore I do not want to have children because I have a duty to protect my body. Someone says, I have to protect my figure, therefore when I am getting pregnant, then I lose my figure, which I have very carefully maintained over the years. And if I lose my figure, then who will want to enjoy with me after that? So therefore, no child. Someone else says, look, I don't want this, I want freedom from this commitment and responsibility. Because obviously with children, a whole life changes. So one has to become responsible, because the children then have to be fed. It all starts with changing the nappies every 1 hour. And after that, then obviously, then it starts with keeping the children safe from the electrical socket. They will start running here and there, right? Keeping the children safe when they run out of the temple here. High speed traffic. Keeping the children safe even when they are playing in the courtyard, right? or ensuring they don't fall into that pond. So always the parents are focused on their children. And then obviously when the children are in their initial ages, then parents try to give the children Krishna consciousness, make them tell Narasimha prayer, and so many things, teach harmonium, mridanga, kartal. And then once they reach 13, then obviously then the first symbols of, the first indications of rebellion start. Then after that, then how to keep them Krishna consciousness, though they are studying in, then because they'll go out and study in schools and universities. So how to ensure that they are safe, away from the opposite sex, away from the same sex, away from drugs, okay, away from media, away from iPad, iPod and whatever. I don't know what all are there, but so many things, computer games. So it's a big responsibility. And it grows. And then ensuring that they complete their education, ensuring they get a good job, ensuring that they are stable in their, you know, in their income, so that the next generation then, you know, can happen very nicely, right? And also ensuring that they are married to the right person who does not fleece them of all their wealth and bring them, bring everyone, the whole family back to zero. The lawyer will make money, right? So there is a big responsibility. And after that also there is anxiety. The father is, and mother are always anxious about the child even after he is married. Is he safe? Sometimes it happens that the child can leave before the father, even after he or she gets married. Or his partner can leave and therefore the child is, the child's life is gone, married life is gone. So it's endless. It will only end at the time of Ram Naam Satya Hai. We say, when death happens and garland is put, then that time one sleeps peacefully. Right? Till that time there is always anxiety and anxiety. It will never end. So some people say, I don't want this commitment, I don't want this responsibility, I don't want any children. Some others who are very philosophical, they may say that child is not the only avenue after all. Happiness, there are so many things. Having children is not the only avenue. There are many other ways of having a fulfilled life. Why only children? So somebody may say that. Some bold people will say, I am not afraid of being alone, therefore I don't want a child. Or others will say, fine, I feel alone, but I can have a pet instead of a child. I'll have a dog. So a dog will be with me. And a dog, I don't have to educate the dog. I don't have to, the dog doesn't go through teenage hormonal changes. Dog will not take away all my wealth. A dog's partner. So I'll have dog. And dog will obey. If I say sit, sit. Stand, stand. Whether 13 years or 14 years old, doesn't matter. Dog will always be a loyal, right? It will always listen. And with the dog, I have the flexibility of changing partners also. Because if I change partner, maybe son will object. What is it that you are doing? Mom, what's going on here? Why did you leave my father? Why did you leave my mother? Dog will not ask anything. As long as you give it a bone, it's okay. Do whatever you want. There is no separation, no inheritance I have to leave for the dog. So no problem. So no children. And there are others who are moralists, who are environmentalists. Now this is a very unique thing. I never knew of this before. There is something called as Voluntary Human Extinction Movement. VHEMET. These people are saying, we are here for the cause of not having children because we want to save the planet. I don't know whether they are being sarcastic. But we want to save the planet and we want to ensure that there is no further environmental degradation owing to children. Okay? Because the parents are also degrading the environment. So what will they teach their children? So, now, devotees too are concerned with environmental degradation. But devotees are also concerned with consciousness degradation. Whereas these people are only worried about environmental degradation. Like once someone said, we are too worried about leaving a good planet for the next generation. But we are not worried about leaving a good generation for the next planet. So, devotees are focused on leaving a good generation, not leaving generally a good planet. If we leave a good generation, planet is taken care of. If we take the planet and leave a bad generation, it's like allopathic medicines. It will take you from 0 to 10 and next day you are back at 0 after that. So, a devotee, because a devotee knows the goal of life, a devotee is much more proactive in his approach and much more mature and strategic in his thinking in this matter. So, this is about a mood of a Grihamedi in not having children. Now, because this is the mood, that what is the mood of a Grihamedi? At the end of the day, it's all about I and aham mameti, me and mine. So, all those reasons were, if you see, there is I and me. I love my partner too much. I don't want to risk my body. So, everything is about I. So, therefore, they want to have this unrestricted sense gratification without the risk of any byproducts, which Prabhupada says parinam. They don't want parinam. So therefore, and most of mankind is bereft of the knowledge of science of self-realization. So therefore, including the so-called scientists, Prabhupada says, of modern day, elsewhere Prabhupada is writing all this. So therefore, they are inventing newer and newer methods by which sense gratification can be had without these byproducts. So there are a lot of methods that the so-called scientists and doctors have invented. So nowadays they have the concept of sterilization. In sterilization, you know, some people are there, they are told, if you do sterilization, you won't have children, but you will lose your choice permanently of not having a child. So these people say, yeah, okay, no problem. I have decided, I don't want a choice. Later on also, I am very clear, I don't want to have a child. So they will go for sterilization. Then there is some people who say, no, hang on. I don't want children now, but maybe later on, I may decide that I may want to become a father or mother. But right now I want to enjoy. Right now no children, but I want to retain flexibility later on. So that way somebody may think. So for them also there are certain contraception methods that are available. They call it as long acting reversible contraception. So it has to be long acting, such the way in the immediate term you are sorted out. Okay, but it has to be reversible later on in case you want the flexibility. So the way human mind is thinking, the way degradation is happening in society, technology is exactly following that to cater to all this kind of nonsensical thinking. Then there are implants or devices. And I was googling this and it is written there, it is called as the fit it and forget it approach. Fit and forget. So which means you fit the contraception device, whatever that device is, and then you forget about it. And then you enjoy. Suddenly one day you will remember, then you can decide what you want to do. Or people place physical barriers before conception, that which is what Prabhupada is talking about, you know, contraception here. Now, in this, there are three moods which are there. There is little bit of moralistic thinking even amongst these otherwise unregulated individuals who do the sterilization and long-term, reversible, irreversible, whatever. Okay. There is another category of people who are not as proactive as those others are, who indulge in something and then start thinking, oh, what did I do now? Okay. So they have not done any contraception planning, but they indulge and now they think. And for that also, there is some provision which is there. This is fear which comes after the act is done. So they have come up with something where after you enjoy your senses without thinking, then within 3 days you can reverse it. So technology has provided for that also. So here there is no responsibility on the part of the couple, but still there is some amount of compassion that okay, fine, let me at least not have a child. I have indulged in some activity without thinking, but at the end of the day, you know, let me not invite a soul into the womb because I don't want to take that responsibility. So little bit that thinking is there at least. Okay, so for them there is some provision, but most of mankind has become shameless. Okay, most of mankind has become shameless. Now what is that called as? It is called as abortion. Abortion means what? I will not even after 3 days I will not bother, but eventually whenever we find out that the partner is pregnant, then we will go and simply kill the child in the womb. So because the Grihamedi, which is nothing but people who are not Krishna conscious, because they don't have any sense of responsibility, because it's all about me and my enjoyment in life, aham mameti. So because of that, eventually mankind is moving towards utter shamelessness, and we have seen an increase in the rate of abortion over the years in the material world. Whereas now we will contrast it and see what is the mood of a Now we talked about the mood of a grihamedi in not having children, and we said that it all comes from the aham mameti principle. Now what is we'll continue grihamedi. We'll talk about the mood of a grihamedi in having children. We talked about the mood of a grihamedi in not having children. Now we'll talk about the mood of a grihamedi in having children. Again, the principle is the same. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. Same, I and mine. So even when they want to have children, the goal is I and mine. So Prabhupada often writes that the goal of life is self-realization and not increasing sex life and begetting children. Even in today's purport, Prabhupada is writing that. Still, how does a grihamedi think? A grihamedi wants to have a child, and there are many reasons they give. One common reason is that my parents want grandchildren, therefore I want to have a child. Or they say, now I can afford to have a baby, so I will have a baby. So it's all about my being able to afford something. Some others say, I will become a somebody. I will become a somebody after becoming a father or a mother. So they want to derive a sense of identity. So that's why they want to become a father or a mother. Yet others may say, after all, I also need to be needed. This is when they are frustrated with the partner. The partner doesn't care. At least they'll think, okay, at least child will care for us. After all, I also need to be needed. So these are different reasons. Someone else may say, a baby will give me some purpose to work hard in this life. They don't know the goal of life. Kashtan kaman arhate vid bhujambe. So I've decided to work hard, but at least a baby will give me a purpose now, because anyway I'm working hard. So I'll derive some sense of purpose. So I can work hard, enjoy and live with my child. Yet others will say that nowadays divorce is so common, so at least if a baby comes, there are chances that my marriage will be together, at least for the sake of the baby. So while the lawyer will try to separate, the baby will at least try to unite. Yet others may say, they are always scared that their partner will run away with someone else. So they say, at least if a baby comes, you know, my partner will be in check. So you know, at least infidelity in the relationship will have some control. Yet others may say that I want to have a child because that's the only way to prove my manliness. So that is another reason why someone can give. I don't want to be seen as different from society. Everybody is having children, so why we should be different? Let us also have children. So that can be another reason. Yet others may say, I want to have a child because there are so many things that I have not enjoyed as a child. There are so many things that I could not achieve. Though I studied very hard, I came nowhere near to becoming a doctor. So therefore, I want to have a child who will become a doctor. It doesn't matter whether the child wants to become a doctor or something else, but since I have not become, I'll realize my dreams through my child, regardless of whether the child wants to or does not want to. Yet others may say that I am going to die anyway, but I come from this great gharana or this family, so kul should be there. So my family, as if it's a great family, my family lineage should continue. That way my surname will become immortal. So therefore I want to have. Yet others may say that I want to have a putra because Put is a hellish planet. It will deliver me from this hellish planet called as Put. Yet others may say, I want to have a child because after all, you know, when I am old, who will take care of me? If my partner leaves before or chooses not to take care of me, then at least my child may take care of me. So everywhere, if you see, it is what? Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. It is all about me and mine. It is nothing is about the child here or about delivering someone else. So there is focus. So if people want to have children with this consciousness, then the focus is generally, you know, in many times the focus is on quantity of children. Planning is done either to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 number of children. Focus is on quantity but not on quality of children. Because quality of parents itself has not gone up. Only with Krishna consciousness will parents' consciousness also change. If parents' consciousness is not changing, so the children, there is no way that children can be delivered. Now, so we discussed quite a lot about the Grihamedhi's mood. Now, what is the mood of a Grihastha in having children? As we said earlier, Grihastha means that a Grihastha enters the ashram primarily because a Grihastha does not have the ability to drive from Melbourne to Sydney in one shot. Therefore, a Grihastha takes an exit but is fully aware that the goal is to go to Sydney, or the goal is Krishna Prem. So, that even when having entered married life, a Grihastha does not forget the principles of Krishna consciousness, does not forget the goal of life. So, most Grihasthas have typically one or more children. Today, if you see in the congregation also, most Grihasthas have one or more children. Now, what is the approach of a Grihastha? They desire to give their love to their child, and it's very natural to expect the child to reciprocate that love. That's not a problem at all. And a Grihastha, his goal is what? To deliver his dependents from the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. To deliver a soul from this material world. So therefore, you will find that in Krishna consciousness, parents are always, you know, praying directly to the Lord or taking blessings of other devotees. Please bless me and please especially bless my child so that he becomes more and more Krishna conscious. So this is absolutely bona fide, and Shastras definitely permit this approach. Now, some couples who are in Krishna consciousness, despite this desire, they may find themselves not having the karma to have a child. It's not that every devotee necessarily has to have a child. Some of them may not have the karma and are not blessed with a child. Now, a Krishna conscious couple in this situation, obviously there will be disappointment. Okay, but rather than getting, and disappointment is natural, but while that is natural, owing to their spiritual maturity, they move on in life. They put behind this as the will of the Lord, and then they move on. And in fact, as when many Grihasthas, when they move on fully in Krishna consciousness, they either adopt a child and try to deliver one soul through that process, or simply by extending their love equally to all the children of this world, they engage in preaching. So they start, they say that, okay, why only my child? Let me now focus all my wealth, instead of, you know, now spending on my child, let me use all this for the greater benefit of mankind. So they dovetail, you know, they actually overcome this limitation by accepting it and then using this as an opportunity to serve the larger society in general. Now, some couples may embrace Grihastha ashram again, but they may consciously choose not to have an offspring. So we see such devotees also in our congregation who are Grihasthas but who consciously choose not to have children. But that's not the same mood as what a Grihamedhi will have. Because some couples may decide that yes, we will come together, but the purpose of our coming together is a missionary spirit of spreading the holy name of the Lord. And they and their school of thinking is that we want to spread the mission. Therefore, husband and wife will work together to spread the mission, and we will minimize our focus on our own life as well as our own needs. Yes, we will have a partner. The husband decides to have a partner, the wife also decides to have a partner, but this is more from an old age or mutual caring point of view. But their life is still dedicated to spreading Krishna consciousness, even without a child. So in any case, in any of these situations, a Grihastha's mood is to deliver his or her offsprings or dependents by keeping themselves and their wards under the shelter of the Lord. In one lecture, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj has said that for a grihastha should consider his or her children as his or her deity. As good as when we take care of our deity, we must take care of our children. So now grihasthas can be in different situations based on what stage of their bhakti they entered their ashram. Now talking about children, grihasthas can be also be at different stages of maturity. For example, the most proactive approach a grihastha takes towards having children is by doing garbhadhan samskar after marriage. This is the most proactive approach that a devotee can take. Because in doing garbhadhan samskar, at the very outset we are inviting a pious soul into the womb of the mother. Sometimes such a soul is invited who is capable of delivering the parents itself. For example, if we see many of the spiritual masters who are exalted personalities in our Krishna conscious movement, we will see that their parents were not devotees. No. But they may not have performed garbhadhan samskar per se to beget them. Of course, we see this as people who are participating in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, who have come as in their different roles today. But generally, if you see that sometimes children are delivering their parents. With garbhadhan samskar, that the probability of doing that increases. So, Prabhupada said that if one takes to grihastha ashram, one is advised to follow these samskaras to increase the probability that the child, later on you don't have to take a reactive approach to make the child a devotee or to keep the child in Krishna consciousness. So some devotees, they may not have done garbhadhan samskara, okay. Even some people know sometimes that garbhadhan samskara is there, but some devotees may not have done garbhadhan samskara. But at least what they do is, they at least when the wife is pregnant, then they engage in study and hearing of Krishna Katha. So that way the mother tries to purify the consciousness of her own consciousness and thereby the consciousness of the child in the womb. So if you see during the 9 months of pregnancy, the mother may continue to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, increase her services in ISKCON, serve the devotees, continue to perform deity worship. So that way also the consciousness of the child can be, and the mother as well as the child can be enhanced. Then there are people who are pious, and these people also did not do garbhadhan samskar. So and in India this culture is generally prevalent. In India people may not be devotees, but still the principle of piety is there in most families. So having gotten a soul, they may not have done garbhadhan samskar, they may not even have read Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, but they perform Simanta Nayanam. Simanta Nayanam is very common. Even people who are not Krishna consciousness, they also do Simanta Nayanam, which in English we call it as baby shower. In Hindi we call it as Godh Bharai. So there the lady is pregnant, and then they have a very nice function, and they invite a lot of other people to this function and take blessings of elders and seniors, and so that the child is healthy and the delivery is smooth. And many times when devotees also do the Simanta Nayanam, what they also pray is that the child becomes Krishna conscious. Now sometimes we will find that some people have done either part or none of the above. So therefore what happens, it's quite possible that many devotees have commenced their Krishna consciousness after they many devotees have got married before they became Krishna conscious. So that is also possible. So then what happens? Once they become devotees, they already have a child now. So they try their best to give the child a Krishna conscious childhood and hope that the child remains in Krishna consciousness, or if the child has left Krishna consciousness, they hope that the child comes back to Krishna consciousness through their efforts, prayers, they themselves setting an example as parents, or through the blessings of the entire community. They make constant efforts to deliver the child from the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. So in any situation, the Krishna conscious grihastha, they try to increase their affection for their children while reducing their attachment for their children. So a grihastha knows that dealings with children have to be very affectionate, but at the same time with a sense of detachment. And what is the difference between affection and attachment? Affection is centered towards the object of affection, whereas attachment is centered within our own mind. So when we do things for someone else, for our happiness, keeping our mind in view, that is called as attachment. Whereas when we do things purely keeping the other person in mind, for purely for the benefit of the other person, then that is called as affection. So Prabhupada writes in this purport that the goal of human form of life is not necessarily to have children and lots of children. So one needs to accept the will of the Lord. Now in the Srimad, throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam also, we see that so many people get desperate to have children. Even sometimes devotees who may not have the karma to have children, despite study of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, sometimes because of the very fact that they are maturing still in their devotional life, they can tend to get desperate or despondent. And there are many stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam also of people who have become desperate. Dhritarashtra, for example. Dhritarashtra was very desperate. When will my 100 children come? And he did not mince his words, insulting Gandhari in multi-fold ways. When Gandhari literally became very scared of Dhritarashtra at one point in time, when he found that she is not having those children, and then obviously through some process she begot children by the blessings of Vyasadeva and all that externally outside her womb. So we see Dhritarashtra's consciousness at that point in time, how desperate he was. We also see Chitraketu. Chitraketu's lot of Chitraketu's misery was this desperation to have a child. We see how Diti also got desperate. So desperate she got for a child that she did not even care what is the right time to unite. And when she chose a wrong time to unite with her husband, then descended Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So she wanted a child immediately, and she wanted a child who is more powerful than Indra. So in modern age we see also couples with similar anxiety to have children. And again, technology has catered for these types of people also. How do we have children when ordinarily nature has not ordained you to have one? So technology is again catering to that. So I was again doing some research on these type of people also. So there are a lot of things that have come up. There is something called as intrauterine insemination, IUI, where they say that the sperm cells are inserted artificially into the womb of the mother at the time of ovulation. So artificially introducing just to have a child. Or we have what is called as the IVF, which is a very popular technique, where it is said that the natural cycle of a woman is switched off and she is given egg producing injections. So when you get so desperate for a child, then you take shelter of technology. So egg producing injections are given, and when these eggs mature, they are collected using a needle, and again they collect a sperm from somewhere else. Now that person could be this person's spouse or partner, or it could be anyone else in this world, but again a sperm is collected from there, from a donor, and then the eggs are fertilized in a laboratory after mixing, put in an incubator for a few days, and then replaced back into the womb of the mother, and then a pregnancy test is done. Now despite all the circus that people do, there is 1 in 5 chances. If you are below 35, there is only 1 in 5 chance that you will have a baby. And if you are over 44, there is only 1 in 10 chance that you have. And it is mentioned that such women who go through all this process along with their spouse, they need 5 such cycles to go through to sometimes become successful. But many of them, even after going through all this, they still do not get pregnant. Plus, all this process cost thousands and thousands of dollars. Very expensive process. So in these artificial methods, the sperm, egg or embryo can be donated by anyone in this world. It's an artificial process of getting pregnant. Or in other cases, the child may itself develop in some surrogate womb, in the womb of some other person who is not the mother. Okay. Or we may say that whoever actually is delivering, that person actually will be the mother. From whosoever womb comes out, traditionally that is what Veda scriptures say, that that becomes a mother. But here we call her surrogate mother. So someone else hosts the child in the womb and then has to hand over back the child to the so-called parents. And if after doing all this, it's quite possible, because you don't know who the donor is, you don't know whose womb it is. So the father and mother generally want the child to have the qualities and looks of the father or the mother. But after doing all this, we don't know which soul we are dealing with and what karma that soul has brought. Then the whole process, and after that, if one becomes a devotee, then we don't know what soul and which karma the child has brought. So then it becomes very difficult, even if someone follows this process. So there's a lot of uncertainty down the line, even if one succeeds in getting a child. For example, the surrogate mother, who has given birth to the child, she may have some karma that the child will die soon after birth, and then she hands over to these people. This may not be their karma, but it may be her karma, so the child dies. So then you are getting into a lot of karmic complications. You are trying to circumvent the karmic process, but on one hand, but on the other hand, you are exposing yourself to a lot of karmic uncertainties in the process. So Srila Prabhupada, in the mood of today's purport, there was I'll end the class with this. So Srila Prabhupada's, I'll quote from Srila Prabhupada's lecture dated 9th November 1968 in Los Angeles. Prabhupada was lecturing on Brahma Samhita, and he was talking about this principle of begetting children. So Prabhupada says, one Marwari gentleman, Prabhupada is saying this, one Marwari gentleman, he is in Calcutta. He has spent 80 lakhs of rupees, or 80,000, for changing his gland, for changing his gland, his reproductive gland or whatever that the men will have, so which helps men beget children. So Prabhupada says, one Marwari gentleman in Calcutta, he spent 80 lakhs for changing his gland into a monkey gland for increasing his sex life. These things are going on, Prabhupada says. The monkeys, they have got very good sex life. One monkey has got at least 30 wives. And anywhere, he is very enjoying sex life. Murkat, Prabhupada says. So the science has discovered the monkey's gland is very strong for sex life. So kill them. You take out the gland of the monkey and insert it into a man. This is going on in the name of medical science. So old age, they are doing ... Science means they are trying to counteract the incapabilities of old age, but they are still failure. There are so many old men dying. So Prabhupada is talking about this. Person doesn't have this, taking from a monkey and still trying to beat the karmic influences. So, in conclusion in today's class, we talked about the significance of grihastha life. We talked about the mood of a grihamedi in having children or not having children. We talked about the mood of a grihastha in having or not having children. So, in conclusion, there are three principles we will close the class with. First is that brahmachari is the fast track, and grihastha ashram is the safe track. In any case, ashram or shelter of the Lord is the key component. In any varna, ashram is the key. Second is, even one enters grihastha ashram, one, sex has to be regulated for procreation, and we have to try to give our children Krishna consciousness. The proactive approach is garbhadhan samskara. If not, at least lead by example, so that the children are facilitated and inspired to take up Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, in fact, elsewhere has said, as many as you can practically, if you can practically give your children Krishna consciousness, you can have as many children as you can, as practically you have confidence that you will be able to give them Krishna consciousness. Then you can have many children, Prabhupada says. But we have to be responsible. We have to assess our own self and see, now should I stop at one? Should I stop at two? Can I afford three? If I can give all the three, very good. If you can give, why not 4? Why not 10? But we need to know. And the last point is, if nature ordains no child for someone, accept it as the will of Lord Krishna and use this as an opportunity to extend love and care beyond seminal relationships with the primary goal of delivering another soul. Yara deke taraka Krishna upadesh, amara agya guru hana tarai desh. So I'll end the class here and ask if any, there are any questions or comments.
One point, Bhakti mentioned that Agastya should treat their children as deities.
Yeah.
So, for someone who is starting, the person himself may be serious in Krishna consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and the kids will behave normally. Like they want to go to school and go to parties and this and that.
Yeah, so it doesn't mean that the children are deities, because only the deity can be deity. But when they say the children are deities, so deity is a representation of Lord. So there is it's metaphorical, it's not a simile, okay, in one sense. So the import of this sentence is that we have to understand that as much as we care for our deities, Lord comes to our house. As a localized as the Lord comes into our house, and then that's our home deity. So when a child also comes, we have to understand that the child is an amsha of Lord Krishna. So in that sense, that sentence was made. Then the child has to be considered as a deity. So we should not consider the child as a burden. We have to consider the child also as a, we have to see that there is a Paramatma inside the child also. So in that sense, we have to take care of our child as much as we take care of our deities. So in that sense it is mentioned.
When it comes to deities, a person will be very, careful with everything. When it comes to kids, in that case, the kids want to go to mundane parties. So how will you balance that?
Yeah, so you answered your own question in that sense, that in with deities we have to be careful, with children we have to be doubly careful. So children also we have to have, with deities we have to be loving as well as careful in dealing with them. With children also we have to be loving and careful in dealing with them. So if children want to go for parties, for example, this is my, I'm speaking from my limited experience here. We can only, there is, It is utopian to think that we can control another jiva. It is utopian thinking. The only person who we can at best control is our own selves. If we start thinking that we can control anything beyond ourselves, then eventually we'll realize that that was a foolish thinking. We cannot influence what our children will do, which party they will go to, what they are eating, what they are drinking. You can't control any of these things. Eventually, we'll come to a point in life where we will realize that. So, that is why once Kadamakaran Maharaj said that our children will make us humble. Right? So, we cannot control anything. All we can do is lead by example. By our own example, we can set the right examples and we can give lot of love and we can try to inspire the child to be on the right track. We can try and educate the child to be on the right track, to facilitate the child to be on the right track, to inspire the child to be on the right track. We cannot ensure that the child is on the right track, because each soul comes with its own karma. And the Lord, it is the Lord who decides when, which soul, and how to deal with, the Lord decides that. All we can do, we can just be nimitta matra. We can just be instruments as parents. We cannot ensure anything. So, if the child is going outside late night and going to restaurant or whatever, or roaming around with friends, we can't do anything about it. We can only educate the child, saying that okay, if and if you, and this usually happens in teenage. Okay, in teenage life, the child says goodbye, parents, thank you, but no thanks. Okay, now because teenage is the age where children are confused. They are neither, children. Who will, you say sit up, sit, they'll sit, they say sing Narasimha Arati, they'll start immediately praying the Mridanga, So all that will slowly change. They will get a free will of their own then. Then they'll say, hang on, but what about my choices in life? They'll start talking that language, okay? So at that time, there is no point in, force putting, locking them in a room and then saying, no, continue playing Mridanga or something. No, they won't do it. That's all, they'll throw up after some time. Of course, the fortunate few, who are there, they'll never deviate also. There are such children also who, despite all these turbulent years, do not deviate. They continue going on from strength to strength. But that's a mercy of the Lord. Now, the parents also, if our child becomes like that, then we should be very careful that pride does not enter our heart and we don't start thinking that we are successful parents. Because Lord Krishna is very quick to deflate pride in anyone. So, if the child is gone through smoothly through these turbulent years, do not get pride into the heart. And if the child is going through turbulence, then do not get discouraged. All we have to do, even once I was consulting Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj also told me the same thing. He said that and Devamrita Maharaj also said. So, child will go through its natural evolution. Lord has a plan for every individual soul. You and I cannot circumvent it. You and I can only do our duties based upon the principles which Srila Prabhupada has taught all of us of Grihastha Ashram. Simply worrying is not going to solve the problem.
I've got one comment,
yes,
about it. Parents love the child, not because they scorn them.
If the parents?
One of the girl,
yeah.
The parents love the child for 2 days in the house.
Yes.
Don't go to scorn.
Okay.
But the girl came to scorn, she got the initiation and she very happy.
Nice. Yes.
When it appears that people are making a choice to have children or not have children, isn't that already preordained in previous lives?
Whether a person has to have children, can have children or not, is it already ordained in their previous life? So my limited understanding, Prabhu, is that yes, many things are preordained by karma. But specifically, I've also heard in various lectures that karma can be changed. When one comes to Krishna consciousness, if the Lord wants, Lord can make an adjustment in someone's karma. So, sometimes the karma can be changed. This is my limited understanding in this matter, Prabhu. So you have to correct me if I'm speaking something wrong.
I'm confused by the narrow actually. It's hard to tell. It's very difficult to work out karma. Sometimes
So, in fact, many times when we see horoscopes, when we match horoscopes for a couple, so sometimes, the horoscope is rejected, they don't allow this couple to marry because sometimes the child does not have, either the lady does not have putra bhagyam or the boy does not have putra bhagyam. So, that time, we don't, or sometimes it will happen that the boy has a very high, this thing where the lady doesn't, then obviously, when the both are match together, then there's a possibility something may happen. So many permutations and combinations, but I'm not an expert in astrology. So anyway, Prabhupada says that the law of karma is very difficult to put into some kind of an algorithm. So that's why the only understanding is this, that as you rightly said, Prabhupada said that when you clap your hands, then your karma changes. So all we can do is do our devotional life and accept the will of the Lord and do our best. If we get one, good. If we don't get one, keep moving. Yeah.
Just a question connected to that. So in your lecture, you were mentioning that if you are not ordained to have a child, then don't circumvent or don't try to somehow or other have it. Then the question comes, if it is karmically ordained for you and you are trying different things, then what is wrong with it? That's the question.
Yeah, so there is nothing wrong even if it is, if one is not ordained to have a child. I'm talking about devotee.
No, I'm generally, make it more clear. You're talking about different methods they use, technology and all.
To have a child, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Somehow or other push for it and then yeah. Have a child.
Yes.
And then simultaneously they're saying you cannot have a child if you're not ordained karmically. So then if it is there in your karma to have a child, then what is wrong? Going through all this different ways or artificial means.
See, it is very natural. It is very natural, be it a devotee or non-devotee, it is very natural for a couple who is married to want to have a child. Okay, it's natural for a lady to want motherhood. Okay, because they say Mataji. Mataji means mother. Okay, so for a lady, it's a privilege to have a child, and even for the husband. So there is nothing right or wrong about wanting to have a child even through the other methods. But the other so there are two aspects only that I wanted to highlight in the class. One was, why do you want to have a child? That reason can be from a point of view of a selfish desire, that I want a child for my own enjoyment or for giving me some kind of assurances, okay, either old age care, and I told so many reasons. So only that can differentiate whether the reason for having a child was right or wrong, even from a moralistic point of view. Okay. If the parents try all this purely from a point of view that they are happy, not caring about what the child undergoes, then that is selfish in its nature. And if the parents but it's very natural, as I said, for a couple to want to have a child. So if they do it and they take care of the child eventually, and especially if there are devotees, and you know, even a devotee couple may want to go for, you know, these methods. It's not that a devotee couple should not try these methods. It is the mood of why I want to become a parent that decides whether it is akarma or whether it has karma. If the mood of Prabhupada, like for example, many times Prabhupada said in the principle of ajagara vritti, let the scientists make aeroplanes, then we will sit on them and go and preach. Okay. So if some technology is allowing something, there is no, and just extending the principle of ajagara vritti, then there is no problem for a devotee in using that technology if one has a desire to have a child. But the reasons, technology will not decide the reason why you want to have a child. That is the conscious nature of a soul, a decision that a soul makes. So as long as the reason is that I still want to have a child, and I will ensure that I deliver this child from the cycle of birth, this is old age and death. And if the child is produced through an IVF, it doesn't matter, it's okay. You have anyway delivered a soul, and Lord will only see that. Again, technology is also given by the Lord only. No? So that is my limited understanding. I don't know whether I answered, but I attempted based on my limited understanding. Yes,
for comments, civilization, the mother is killing the child.
So I couldn't. Can you repeat that question loud? Maybe you probably have my.
It's a comment.
It's a comment. Okay, Prabhu, I couldn't hear. So I would like to hear that.
A couple of comments Prabhupada made about conceiving children and how modern people are managing things. He said, "Where is civilization? They kill the child in the womb. Generally, the child is the most dear." To the mother, the most dear thing. And then they are killing the child within the womb. So Prabhupada said, where is civilization? That's worse than the animals. The animals don't do it. And the other comment, you were talking about contraception. And so Prabhupada said, just trying to think of it word for word. He said they are taking contraception. You know, the child, dog is welcome. So that just shows the folly of modern society. You take contraception, so you don't have a child, then you go and buy a dog. It's upside down. So, contraception, stop the baby. But open the door.
Thank you, bro. So it's 9:20. I'll stop here. Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Prabhupada ki jai.